We have seen and heard the beginning of a new ministry by the men's choral group. This is a very blessed ministry. The word of God set to music, sung by godly men, will fulfill God's own purpose, touching hearts, reviving souls. And so I want to commend the men's group. We look forward to many more ministrations from thee, and I pray that the Lord will use you mightily. Now, this is unscheduled, but it's necessary. Please turn to the hymn 242, which we had sung earlier on, and we are going to sing not all the five verses. You'll be very tired after that. But we are going to sing two verses, 1 and 4. The reason I'm singing this with you is because it was sung in the temple of 18-year-olds rushing into battle. Now, when you're 80, you go a little slower. And when you talk of blessed quietness, let's sing it quietly. Not without spirit, but plenty of spirit, but a little more meditatively. Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. Give yourself a little moment to pause and ponder, and praying as you sing that God's Spirit will truly speak to you through the words of this beautiful song. Joys are flowing like a river. How does this river flow? It is not in torrents and torments, but it is a very smooth, slow-flowing river like the Comforter who comes to strengthen, to comfort, and to uplift us. So we'll try this, just verses 1 and 5, and follow me for tempo, please.
Together, joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. What a wonderful salvation, where we always see his face. What a perfect habitation, what a quiet resting place. Blessed quiet, holy quietness, what assurance. Oh, he speaks peace to me.
Welcome to Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, a ministry which God has given to us in this church now 28 years. I always call it my special baby because I bear the burden of nurturing, sustaining, and nourishing this ministry like a baby. At one time, we went down to 40 or 50 people. At other times, we go up to 1,000 or 200. So there is a great fluctuation. I want to request all of you who have been blessed by this ministry to make it an item for prayer. When I heard the men's number. I was so blessed. And the thought occurred to me, could it not have blessed 1,000 instead of the 300 odd we have tonight? I'm sure all of you will agree, yes. Even 1,000, 2,000 would have been blessed by that song that was sung and by the words which will be preached, by the fellowship, by the calm and comfort of the atmosphere of the house of God. This is a house of prayer, a house of peace, a house of comfort. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. Meaning to say, I will not forsake you. How wonderful those words of comfort. Comfort not because you are sad only, but sometimes discouraged, feeling all is lost, and you can't do anything at all. There's a time you need comfort. And our Lord says to us, I will send you the Comforter, the one who stands with you, walks with you, strengthens you, gives you that stamina to go on. This is the ministry of Sunset Gospel Hour. Please remember my request. You say, what did you request? Have you forgotten? Pray and do your part for the Sunset Gospel Hour. That here is the house of comfort and strength for God's people. Bring them in. Peace like a river is our theme for tonight. Oh, my friends, we live in a world of great stress, turmoil, sorrow, sadness. But in the midst of all the sorrow and sadness, there is a Comforter. There is our Lord God Almighty, whom you love, in whom you trust, and who is all sufficient for every need of this transient life. When you think of this song we are going to sing, and the author who gave us that song, that this song came out because God took his four daughters in a Atlantic shipping accident. And out of that, when most other people would be buried in their sorrows, complaining and asking God questions that cannot be answered and be completely depressed, Horatio Spafford gave us a hymn that lives for all eternity. Wherever God's people sing that hymn, which we heard our male choral group sing, wherever that song is sung, wherever you sing it yourself, it is going to uplift our spirits and give us hope in the midst of despair. Now, dear friends, I want to impress on you this evening that what happened to Horatio Spafford can happen to any one of us here. He is no exception. And while we think of this man and how he responded, I say, think of yourself. How would you respond? To what, you say? To what? Death is never far away. And before you realize it, it will hit home. And death is never very painful. In fact, it is painless until it hits home, in your home, your loved one. And I say that event is never far away. And then when you are hit, you wonder, what's hit you? Why me? Why? Has God a purpose in all this? Oh, friends, tonight we are here to study out of God's book. What is the meaning of death? Men of the world have different responses to death. You know the famous story of Taj Mahal, right? This Indian prince was heartbroken because his wife died. And to express the unexpressed love that he had for the wife that he had hoped to express through a long life, he expended his energies into building a beautiful palace for the dead body called a mausoleum. Go to Agra in India and you see that amazing wonder of the world called the Taj Mahal, built because this great prince was grief-stricken. Took him 18 years to honor a dead wife, but no comfort. My friends, when death hits you near, when you are painful, hurting, wondering, why me? What's happened? Lord, give me more years with that person, whoever it is. And the closer the ties, the bond, the more painful it is. God has a lesson. He had a lesson for Horatio Spafford, and He has a lesson for all of us. In the year 1988, 2 years after we began the work in Melbourne, a group from our church, the Bethel Bible Presbyterian Church, were driving through the night to attend Expo 88. That's a long time ago, almost 20 years. Driving out of Sydney towards Brisbane. Whoever was driving was a lady, ran into a tree. And on the spot, two were critically ill, critically injured, and two were instantly dead, leaving behind two shattered families. Death struck out of the blue on two families and some friends. Now you say, what can God do through that? What purpose can there be? We do not know. At that time, we were all mystified, struck with terror in ways and with grief that cannot be expressed. Those of you who were with us at that time, we sent help, not just in money, but in persons, people who went down instantly to help them. But out of that, God has done many great things. The widow left with three children has seen God's grace and comfort and mercy through all these 20 years. Do you know those children are exemplary children that one widow raised through 20 years today are established godly people by one woman. That lady I have the greatest admiration for. In the 20 years that we ministered to her, and we went down often, ministered to her, I have never seen her unhappy, grumpy, or angry. Never. It's an amazing witness to one person, of one person. And she was crippled practically, being injured in the spine that she could not walk properly. But by perseverance and physiotherapy and tuition and retraining, she could walk, drive a car, and has gone around the world a couple of times and done great things. To the glory of God, I say, God can do things that you never knew. One of the survivors of that crash, that horrible, fatal crash, is with us tonight, here in this hall, and doing a course of study at Far Eastern Bible College. Another testimony to the goodness of God. Now come to another death. Death is not without its purpose when it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I promoted a book called The Second Dawn here a few months ago. That young man, aged 28, engaged to be married in a few months' time, was discovered to have advanced cancer. Now what can you do with advanced cancer? What is the use of your life? In the remaining months of his life, he became a witness, a very special witness, powerful witness. Those words left by this dying young man have touched many lives, including the life of our dear friend here tonight. So God can do wonderful things. Tonight I brought here a book, and there are a few copies here. This book came out of the life of a friend of mine, an Indonesian banker, who used to be vice president of the Lippo Bank. You know, Lippo Group is very famous in Singapore today. Now, this Christian man, 4 years ago, was bereft of a wife. Suddenly, the wife of his life departed, and he was completely grief-stricken. Then he began to meditate and to write his meditations. Simple verses from Scripture, simple meditations and thoughts that came to him, godly thoughts. Searching the Scriptures, he wrote this book. And in his Indonesian English, he gave me a copy. I read, I was blessed. One day he says, "Dr. Toh, can you put it into Singapore English?" I said, "Yes." So I spent 4 months. This book is here tonight. It's available in the bookshop, but these on the table here will be for free. Hardbound, beautiful, and full of godly thoughts. Out of death, he could not understand it. Why me? Why my wife should go at this time? Out of that death comes this, my dear friends. The Bible has many instances of God blessing through death. And I want to share with you just a couple more before we sing the last hymn. If you were to think of all the stories in the Bible where death spoke very loudly, who can you think of? Can you think of somebody? One man, Job, right? Is there anyone who was more stricken with grief than Job? Is there anyone here who lost 10 children in one day? Turn to Job chapter 1. Just before Psalms is Job. Job chapter 1, this godly man, of whom it is said he was, of all the men of the east, he feared God and eschewed evil. And the Lord was with him and blessed him in no uncertain ways. He was so rich, he was the richest man in the east at that time. But God allowed Satan to afflict him, and in one day, all 10 children were killed. Verse 19. Job 1:19. "Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, that it fell upon the young men and the sisters. And they were dead. And I only am escaped to tell you the news, Job. Your children are gone." Verse 20. "What would be your response if you had lost one child, one daughter, one son? How would you respond? What would be your reaction?" Verse 20. "Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head in sign of mourning, expression of grief, fell down upon the ground, worshipped God, and said..." Now these words are famous. "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Did you learn something there? When I was in London about 12 years ago, coming to our meeting was a young man from Brunei. And he told the story that his three-year-old son, one day in the kitchen, was fed a piece of food by the mother. And in swallowing, by a freak accident, the food went down into the windpipe and blocked the lungs. And on the spot, he died. How do you respond to this? You are a pastor, serving the Lord, doing God's work, and the only son is taken like that. He gave his testimony. He says, the Lord spoke to him, "Why do you sorrow? Your child is with me." And remember, children are loaned from the Lord. Ah, that was something I had not heard before. To all of you who have children, treat them with that kind of an attitude. Loan from the Lord for me to care. How shall I look after my child loaned to me from the Lord? My responsibility is to God, you know. He's on loan. The child is on loan. So when you get that different perspective of life, of loved one, you change your attitude to death. Maybe a wife, maybe a husband, maybe a father, a mother, less painful, but more painful, most painful, is your better half. Because husband and wife, you are bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. The two are one. And when death comes, it means a tearing apart. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, it's gone. Gone forever. Forever. But in Jesus Christ, you realize it is for a time, not forever. So there is a different outlook, a different perspective, a different response to death in the Lord Jesus Christ at this house of prayer, is a house of comfort, house of truth, a place where you come to receive the truth of God, the real meaning of life. Why should people die? And when they die, what is the meaning? What is the impact? Why me? All these answers are found in this house of God. So, God spoke to Job. You know, in that early day, long before the Lord Jesus, remember, Job was about the time of Abraham, in that vintage. And God showed him, "Job, you have been faithful. I will show you a secret." And God saw it. Amazing prediction, amazing prophecy is given by Job. Will you turn further to Job chapter 19? And here is an amazing revelation of the coming resurrection of the Lord Jesus and our resurrection, so that when you have this truth, this assurance, death loses its sting. Verse 25, Job 19:25. Here, can you visualize Job covered from head to toe with sores, boils, sitting on an ash heap, sorrowing, being challenged by four friends who were supposed to be comforting him, but no comfort. They just gave him a lot of trouble. In the midst of his sorrow, God showed to him. And I say to anyone here who is perhaps in that situation of sorrowing for a loved one, here is the answer. Verse 25. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." How wonderful. Down the ages, through thousands of years, he saw my Redeemer. Who is my Redeemer? He saw Jesus Christ by eye of faith to stand on the earth. Verse 26. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. This is the resurrection being described. Amazing. Did you ever read this verse and did you squirm about the worms? No, God has an ecological system that keeps the balance in the ecology, in the environment, in the earth, that God has billions of worms for our sakes. When we are buried, they come in and they cleanse the rotting flesh. Do you know that? Worms are there for good worms, useful worms. God made them. And so, Job says, I know when I'm buried, my body will rot. Don't feel squirmish. Don't be unsettled because I tell you all this. These are biological facts. When you are buried, the body rots within 24 hours and begins to melt away, and the worms will do their business, and very soon everything's cleansed. Amazing. God's creation of worms. So, Job says, though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I see God. Amazing. How did he know? Oh, my friends, if you have any worry about death, this is the comfort. In Jesus Christ you have an everlasting comfort, an instant comfort, to know that while I'm absent from the body, my soul is present with the Lord immediately, instantly. No halfway house, no purgatory. It goes to the Lord who gave it. And that body will rot, and worms will do their job of cleansing the earth. Verse 27 says, whom I shall see for myself. I shall see my God. Wonderful. Who said it? Job. Who told you, Job? We have a wonderful God who revealed to him. Mine eyes shall behold, and not another, but this is the promise. Are you comforted, dear friends? Then turn to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 11. When my mother passed away, I was 20. And all my life of 20 years, I never imagined such an event possibly happening. Mother is imperishable. Only father is very fragile. Because he was always sick. Mother never sick one day. And her instructions to all the children is, pray for your father. If you do not have a father to sustain and support you, you all become beggars. So, suddenly God took her. And we were completely shattered, brokenhearted, bewildered, wondering, why mother, why mother? Then I searched her Bible. I said, mother has not left any word written. She had left verbal instructions to all the children, every one of them individually. Be faithful, serve the Lord, follow him. Ah, that was given, right? That's verbal. I was wondering, mother, did you leave us anything written? Searching through her Bible, it came. Written in her own hand, on a piece of paper. Beautiful, neat handwriting. I wish I had kept it, but it's lost. You read with me, two verses, John 11, 25 and 26. Well-known, famous, and beloved verses. John 11, verses 25 and 26. Are you ready? All right, everybody please. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Wonderful comfort came immediately. I said, this is mother's message to me. Grieve not. Though I am gone, yet shall I live. and whosoever believes, when the Lord comes, you will never die. That is the comfort. Nothing comforts, only the Word of God. And now we're going to read the last passage, by the living Word. We have read the written Word. Now for the words of the living Word. Jesus Christ our Lord is the living Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 51 to 57. Thank God for calling that enemy of the gospel called Saul of Tarsus. And God stopped him in his tracks and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul turned, and from that day he says, "Lord, who are you? I will serve you." From that day, never turned again. God showed him, the greatest of all the apostles, to write this wonderful passage. Verse 51, out of the pen of the apostle. He says, "Behold, those of you who are sorrowing, those of you who are plagued with the fear of death, wondering what will happen if I die as a Christian. Is there hope? Is there a future? Listen, verse 51. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. The dying is only a phase in our transformation when we have to go into the earth in sleep." The term sleep describes a believer's temporary sleeping in the earth until our Creator, Savior, Redeemer comes. Then, at that time, wonderful things will happen. Not now. When? When the Lord comes. That's why we look forward to this blessed hope, the wonderful hope. Alright, we read again. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How fast do you twinkle the eye? Scientists have taken the speed of it. It's 1/400th of a second. You know how long is a second? A second is tick-tock, that's 1 second. And 1/400th, that's how you twinkle the eye. In that moment of time, at the split second, God will do the greatest miracle, greater even than the creation and the creation of the stars and heavenly bodies, all put together, is not as great as this one miracle. When He raises all of us. In the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Your loved one, everyone who has died in the Lord Jesus Christ, is included from Genesis until now and until the future. Everyone who has been in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall be changed. Verse 53. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This is a promise. The promise that Job saw. The promise that was given to the disciples on that day when Mary and Martha were crying. You cry? It's good we cry sometimes. It's good we weep so that we understand what is human sorrow. And Mary and Martha miss their only brother. Why should he die? He's so precious. And all of us say this, when somebody dear to you has died, and you say, why? Will you come back? Can we not have some more time together? This was revealed to all the disciples, to Mary and Martha, and to all of us here today. Verse 54. This corruptible mortal body, by then, when the Lord comes, shall have put on incorruption. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death,
Oh, death, that terrible word, the horrible word, that
hurtful word. Where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Now here comes the answer to all of you, the comforting words of God. The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is in the law, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Horatio Spafford, receiving the news, he was to follow, to join the wife, because of a gospel crusade by D.L. Moody. Who's Moody? The greatest evangelist of the 19th century. The greatest. He was going to hold evangelistic campaign in Great Britain. And Horatio Spafford was to join with that campaign and send the family ahead. He was to follow because of business. He could not join them at once. So when they had gone, he received the news. When the ship had sunk, over 270 people drowned, including the four daughters. But the wife was saved, barely saved. And from Cardiff in Wales, in England, she sent a cable to reach the husband. Saved! Alone. Message was clear. Four daughters were gone. Now how do you respond to that? The hymn is so wonderful. Now as we turn to the hymn, let us sing with understanding. Here is the sorrowing Horatio Spafford, and there is the sorrowing wife. But in between is the Lord Jesus, and the same Lord Jesus is with us today. The same Jesus who raised up Lazarus, but to die again. The same Jesus who rose from the dead himself, never to die, has power to raise you and me. Why did you become a Christian? Simply this, that our sins be forgiven, and we have a part in the kingdom of heaven, and that we have the share of eternal life that He only can give, because God has magnified Him. His own Son went on the cross of Calvary, and there He took away that sting, the sin of all the world. Your sin, my sin, taken away on Jesus. We, looking to Him, believing in Him, you can say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Because in Jesus Christ, there is the everlasting hope, the endless hope. Without Him, you face only a hopeless end. Sing this with understanding, therefore. Hymn is 319. Our men's chorus, you should help us, lead us. Alright, let's all arise and sing. Hymn 319. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whenever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let's sing together. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, love is to come. Let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate.
His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. It is oh, my soul, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sad. The clouds be rolled back by the storm. The resound and the Lord shall descend, even so. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
Our Father in heaven, to those of us who can say it is well with my soul, may thou send us forth to be thy messengers of good news, even the gospel of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will bring them into the house of prayer, the house of comfort, the house of peace. O Lord, dismiss us now with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be with each one of us, now and until we see our Savior face to face. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. The Lord be with you all, and a very good night before I...